Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is December 2, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about HODLers are insane, 64% of Bitcoin supply has not moved since 2018. Guy who lost 4 BTC on Lightning Network has recovered most funds. Halving will be non-event for BTC price, Morgan Creek Digital Exec. P2P Bitcoin Marketplace Paxful set to surpass local Bitcoins in volume. Data scientist uses deep learning to predict BTC price in real time. Dutch crypto startups brawl with regulators over scope of EU money laundering rule. Now let's get started. HODLers are insane, 64% of Bitcoin supply has not moved since 2018. Over 60% of the total Bitcoin, BTC, in circulation has not left its wallet in more than a year, highlighting demand among investors. That was the conclusion of analyst Rhythm, who uploaded statistics about Bitcoin network activity on December 2. BTC investors shun risk and short-term gains. Of the roughly 18.08 million Bitcoins which have been mined, 11.58 million or 64% of the supply has stayed in the same wallet since 2018. The figure is striking as during that time, BTC, USD expanded from $3,100 last December to 2019 highs of $13,800 just 6 months later. Subsequently, markets reversed downward, shaving 52% off the highs to reach local lows of $6,500 on November 25. HODLers of last resort are insane, Rhythm summarized. According to the data, the amount of dormant BTC as a percentage of the total supply has sharply increased in recent years. The trend has remained intact during both bull markets and bear markets, signaling a desire among investors to save rather than spend regardless of profitability. Hard money mentality. Such a trait fits Bitcoin's characteristics as hard money, a currency with a fixed supply and emission schedule which no central authority can manipulate. As Cointelegraph recently noted, the cryptocurrency's proponents have long drawn the distinction between its characteristics and those of easy money such as fiat currency. A currency, which can have its supply manipulated, fits an economic system that incentivizes spending and borrowing while discouraging saving. As Saifedean Ammous summarized in his popular book, The Bitcoin Standard, consumers feel the urge to spend money sooner, as it loses its value in the long term due to government and central bank interference. Bitcoiners, by contrast, continue to exhibit a so-called low-time preference, economically saving for the future, understanding that it is more profitable to do so than purchase as much as possible as soon as possible. Guy who lost 4 BTC on Lightning Network has recovered most funds. 1 month on, a Redditor who lost 4 Bitcoin, BTC, on the Lightning Network has published advice based on his experience. In a thread posted to the r Bitcoin community on December 1, Redditor ZippoTM revealed that the Lightning community had given him huge support by helping him to save his coins, with most of them now recovered. Don't panic, wait. As reported, the Lightning Network is a second-layer solution to Bitcoin's scalability limitations, which works by opening payment channels between users that keep the majority of transactions off-chain, turning to the underlying blockchain only to record the net results. In his post, ZippoTM gave details of the five successful steps he had taken to recover most of his funds. The first involved, where possible, the cooperative closure of the channels that have funds on seed, with the next four entailing various force closures and unilateral measures to shut down the still open channels. Step 1, Coop closed channels with funds on seed. Step 2, Remote force closed channels with per commit point in channel, DB. Step 3, Remote force closed channels where we have to ask peers for the per commit point. Step 4, try with SCB, static channel backup, again with remaining channels. Step 5, still open channels, try force closing with old stat. By way of additional advice, Zippo TM counseled users seeking to force close channels to always do this manually, channel by channel, and when their node is fully synced. He highlighted the usefulness of creating static channel backups, or SCBs, each time after opening a new channel and safeguarding the associated 24-word seed. Lastly, he warned not to panic but to wait after each step and to thoroughly research how the system works before using it to send significant amounts of BTC. Code of Ethics. This fall, Cointelegraph reported that Keithmali Chung, the co-founder and president of African blockchain firm Loopblock Network, returned almost $80,000 worth of Bitcoin that had mistakenly been sent to his wallet. Halving will be non-event for BTC price, Morgan Creek Digital Exec. Bitcoin's BTC 2020 block reward halving continues to generate mixed opinions regarding price performance, as one analyst suggests its impact will be next to nothing. In a tweet on December 1, Jason Williams, co-founder at digital asset fund Morgan Creek Digital, said that unlike many others, he believed markets would not move as a result of the halving next May. Williams, BTC halving will be non-event. Bitcoin halving in May 2020 won't do anything to the price. It will be a non-event, he summarized. Bitcoin's block reward halving will reduce the amount of BTC paid to miners for each block from 12.5 BTC to 6.25 BTC. As Cointelegraph reported, the event is broadly expected to become a catalyst for a bull market. Analysts diverge over when the reaction might take place. Opinions range from several months before the halving to several months after it. At the same time, as statistician Willie Wu noted 2 weeks previously, Bitcoin's current position marks a sharp contrast to the bullish setup to its previous two halvings. 2020, he concluded, will be a unique first for Bitcoin. Others, such as mining giant Bitmain's CEO Jihan Wu, share Williams' lack of excitement. Cointelegraph also released an alternative outlook for Bitcoin over the halving. Rumors abound over unique halving. The multitude of factors that could potentially influence the halving's effect has even led to disagreements within the same small group of market participants. Anthony Pompliano, a fellow Morgan Creek Digital co-founder well known for his Bitcoin advocacy, previously implied that at $7,200, BTC, USD has yet to benefit from the halving. The Bitcoin halving is not priced in, he tweeted on November 10. At the time, BTC, USD traded at around $8,750, 20% higher than at press time. According to a historically accurate Bitcoin price model, meanwhile, the long-term impact on the halving is all but assured. By 2022, the stock-to-flow tool predicts, BTC, USD should have jumped to over $100,000. The model's creator, Plan B, doubled down on the figure in October while acknowledging that its accuracy may not last beyond the next few halving events. P2P Bitcoin Marketplace Paxful set to surpass local Bitcoins in volume. Peer-to-peer P2P Bitcoin BTC Marketplace Paxful recently hit an all-time high in weekly traded volume. As of December 2, CoinDance data reveals that for the week of November 23, Paxful saw close to $30 million in P2P Bitcoin trades, continuing a consistent upward trend since the platform's inception. Paxful trumps local Bitcoin's trend. Paxful is a P2P over-the-counter platform that connects users offering to buy and sell Bitcoin using gift cards, PayPal, domestic bank transfers, and other payment methods. As a decentralized and non-custodial service, Paxful reportedly sees Bitcoin trades denominated in 70 different national fiat currencies and has seen $20-25 million in trades weekly throughout much of 2019. While Paxful has reported a consistent uptrend since 2015, data from localbitcoins.com, a veteran name in the P2P crypto trading space, has seen a shakier arc, with peak volumes largely reported during the winter 2017 cryptocurrency bull run. Despite this, local Bitcoin's volume remained broadly in the $40-60 million weekly range for much of 2018-2019, although the last few months have seen a downturn with consistently sub $40 million levels throughout October and November. As noted, one of Paxful's niche markets is the exchange of retail-branded gift cards for Bitcoin. The platform's site reveals that Amazon gift cards are currently the most popular, followed by eBay, Steam, and iTunes. Local Bitcoin's challengers. As reported, local Bitcoins has seen its market share challenged as rival local cryptos, formerly local Ethereum, announced it was set to add Bitcoin support alongside Ether, ETH. Local Bitcoins has also come under criticism for its move to register as an official virtual currency provider with regulators in its home country of Finland, alienating users who hope to transact pseudonymously. Centralized exchange alternatives and tokenized gift cards. As Cointelegraph reported in July, major centralized American cryptocurrency wallet and exchange Coinbase has also entered the crypto gift card market, allowing customers in certain countries to exchange coins for brand e-certificates. In August, Japan's largest gift card platform Amadon revealed it would start issuing tokenized gift cards in partnership with blockchain network provider ILF. Data scientist uses deep learning to predict BTC price in real time. A data scientist at India's prestigious Vellore Institute of Technology has outlined a method for how to purportedly predict crypto prices in real time using a long short-term memory (LSTM) neural network. In a blog post published on December 2, researcher Abhinav Sagar demonstrated a four-step process for how to use machine learning technology to forecast prices in a sector he purported as relatively unpredictable as compared with traditional markets. Machine learning for crypto price prediction has been restricted. Sagar prefaced his demonstration by noting that while machine learning has achieved some success in predicting stock market prices, its application in the cryptocurrency field has been restricted. In support of this claim, he argued that cryptocurrency prices fluctuate in accordance with fast-paced technological developments, as well as economic, security, and political factors. Sagar's four-step proposed method involves 1. Collecting real-time cryptocurrency data, 2. Preparing the data for neural network training, 3. Testing the prediction using the LSTM neural network, 4. Visualizing the results of the prediction. As software developer Aditi Mittal has outlined, LSTM is an acronym for long short-term memory, a type of neural network that is designed to classify, process, and predict time series given time lags of unknown duration. To train his network, Sagar used a dataset from CryptoCompare, making use of features such as price, volume, and open, high and low values. He provides a link to the code for the complete project on GitHub and outlines the functions he used to normalize data values in preparation for machine learning. Before plotting and visualizing the results of the network's predictions, Sagar notes he used mean absolute error as an evaluation metric, which, he notes, measures the average magnitude of the errors in a set of predictions, without considering their direction. From the markets to outer space. Beyond market predictions, the convergence of new decentralized technologies such as blockchain with machine learning has been gaining ever more traction. As reported this fall, NASA recently published a listing for a data scientist role, singling out cryptocurrency and blockchain expertise as a plus. The agency, whose primary function is the construction and operation of planetary robotic spacecraft and conducting Earth orbit missions, further required qualifications in one or more related fields including machine learning, big data, Internet of Things, analytics, statistics, and cloud computing. Dutch crypto startups brawl with regulators over scope of EU money laundering rule. The takeaway: the European Union's Anti-Money Laundering Directive, AMLD 5, comes into law this January. EU states must decide how to implement the EU directive as it pertains to cryptocurrency. The Dutch Ministry of Finance, FIN, and Dutch National Bank, DNB, have laid out their own interpretation. Critics say they could do irreparable damage to the young crypto industry. Independent Legal Review says the proposed implementation purposefully misled the Dutch parliament. Dutch crypto startups are crying foul as regulators in the Netherlands look to implement the European Union's fifth anti-money laundering directive, AMLD 5, ahead of a January 10 deadline. The firms, which include exchanges and software developers, say authorities are subverting the democratic process and trying to right past wrongs that have nothing to do with the development of a native blockchain industry. The Dutch Ministry of Finance (FIN) and Dutch National Bank (DNB) are pushing ahead with stringent additions to the EU's AMLD5 legislation without disclosing them to the Dutch Parliament, according to multiple Dutch crypto businesses and a former regulator. They say the authorities failed to pass the new regulations through the proper channels, which include an independent governmental body that reviews legislation before it heads to the Parliament. The Dutch Council of State rejected the new laws earlier this year. Under the new rules, crypto firms are expected to pay for their own supervision costs and undergo a registration process. The firms see this as illegal licensing, and point out that amendments to AMLD5 were pulled straight from legislation meant to address regulatory loopholes that were contributing factors in the 2008 banking crisis. We do not think it is appropriate to start as a new sector under a supervision financing model that has been explicitly adjusted and weighted up in response to the financial crisis, crypto exchange Bitonic and chairman of crypto regulation body VBNL Don Kleiman said in a translated letter sent to the Dutch Parliament October 30. Both the FIN regulatory letter and the spirit are at odds with the advice of the Council of State, Kleiman added. With less than 2 months until AMLD5 comes into force, the Dutch crypto community are caught arguing semantics with authorities, which claim to be following both the Council of State's advice and AMLD5 to the T. Haunted by big banking. Banking compliance consultant Simon Lelievelt, who has worked for the DNB and is a Dutch financial historian, said the two entities are trying to be proactive and not repeat past mistakes. Regulators are under pressure from critics who say lax oversight, particularly concerning the Netherlands' largest bank, ING, led to the 2008 collapse. ING received a 10 billion government bailout, an amount it eventually paid back with interest. If you look at the AML directive in the Netherlands, we had this huge incident where ING was seen to be failing on anti-money laundering measures for about 6 years, said Lelievelt in a phone interview. So there's a huge tendency and trend for the central bank to make up for it. The last 7 years the central bank is really heavy on integrity supervision because they want to make up for the errors of the past, he said. ING was fined $900 million in 2018 for failing to detect money laundering ongoing for years. As Reuters reported at the time, the amount laundered was actually incalculable. FIN is under similar pressure, Lelievelt said, as the fraud evaluation from the Financial Action Task Force (FATF) comes next year. They want to be seen as the best kid in class. So they're doing everything in their powers to come across as an entity that basically implements each FATF rule to the letter and beyond, Lelievelt said. The crypto industry complains that regulators are instituting a licensing regime, when the EU directive only calls for registration, which carries less onerous validation requirements. FIN says its implementation is registration and that it has made the necessary changes asked by the Council of State. The draft bill does not include requirements that go beyond the scope of AMLD5, said Hayat El-Talhawi, FIN's spokesperson for the financial sector, in an email to CoinDesk. The DNB did not return questions for comment by press time. Lelievelt, Kleiman and others beg to differ, calling the registration de facto licensing. In fact, Kleiman and the VBNL go as far to say it has the feel of domestic surveillance. FIN, DNB, and Parliament. This past September, the DNB responded to AMLD5 with long-awaited guidance, outlining a registration process ahead of the EU's January 2020 deadline for enforcement. As CoinDesk reported at the time, the guidance was well received in the Netherlands, although hints of further restrictions were raised as the DNB singled out non-Dutch firms. Multiple crypto businesses have expressed frustration at stringent add-ons which could lead to added operating costs. Lelievelt estimated Dutch companies, many of them small firms, could have to pay €150,000 per year to meet the changes. Under AMLD5, the EU's 28 nation-states required to toughen up Know Your Customer (KYC) and anti-money laundering (AML) procedures for crypto exchanges or custodial services. While many EU nations, such as the UK, have added onto the AMLD5 rules, the Netherlands claims to not have made any adjustments. According to legal consultation firm Hart Advocate and NV, Finn and DNB copy and pasted additions from the 2007 Act into AMLD5 and then proceeded to deny such additions before Parliament, calling into question the ethics of financial regulation. The accusations were detailed in a letter on behalf of Botanic. "They're basically thumbing their nose to the Council of State, ignoring what they are saying," said Lilievelt. "They are claiming we're doing European implementation and that's it. That's what rattles everyone. They're basically messing up the democratic system. Local businesses minding the gap." While nothing has passed Parliament yet, crypto firms in the Netherlands are taking a risk-averse approach, with many companies declining to speak to CoinDesk publicly out of fear of reprisals such as fines. Deribit, an Amsterdam-based derivatives exchange, has even hinted at the possibility of exiting the Netherlands as AML, KYC requirements are placed on its exchange this coming January. "If we continue to operate in the Netherlands, we will need to have those things implemented," said CEO John Jansen in early October on the Flippening podcast on the coming Dutch interpretation of AMDL5. Deribit did not return CoinDesk's request for comment. Earlier this month, the DNB, Finn, the Dutch IRS and the Financial Intelligence Unit sat down with the top crypto companies in the Netherlands for a 5-hour presentation on regulatory guidance. Attendee PJ Datema, founder of Crypto2Cash, said while he believes the regulators are putting new wine in old bottles, he remains upbeat overall, particularly as baseline capital requirements to operate in the crypto field were not proposed at the meeting. Most of the 150 or so participants at the roundtable were small shops offering single products, Datema said. Financial authorities that typically deal with traditional markets are still learning how to regulate crypto firms. "Regulators kind of accept it, but because you can't ignore it anymore," Datema said. Arthur Stolk, managing director at Dutch cryptocurrency fund Iconic, who also attended the meeting, would prefer one unified EU framework so crypto companies can get one license for the whole EU, rather than applying in each state. "It's a missed opportunity," he said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.